Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Create Something Awesome Today podcast. This is your host, Roberto Blake of RobertoBlake.com, helping you create something awesome today. So we've got an interesting show. Today, I want to talk about building your body of work. Building your body of work is probably one of the most important things you can do as a creative person, as an entrepreneur, pretty much as anyone that's building their brand, whether that's for their business or if you're developing your personal brand. And this matters because ultimately, at the end of the day, no matter what certifications you have, no matter what credentials, no matter what degree, anybody hiring you for a job ultimately needs you to do that job and to perform a task. You need proof and you need to be able to verify that you can do that. And the reality is that no amount of paperwork really makes up for a body of work at the end of the day. Just knowing that somebody has experience, that someone has references, that somebody is accomplished, that means something. And being able to see the actual labor that they put in and the results they produced means a lot more than an arbitrary piece of paperwork, more than a grade. And again, this isn't to get into a rant about education and college. I get it. There are people, look, if you're going to perform surgery on me, go to school, shell out a mortgage and get that 8-year degree, please. And then cut me open, right? Okay. If you're going to go ahead and do legal stuff, of course. But if you're a creative, you're listening to this podcast, the odds are that you probably overpaid for your education or you may not need a formal education, because what you really need is skills and a body of work. And that's what I look for when I hire people. I'm not just throwing this out here arbitrarily. It's how I got every job and every client I've ever done is I showed them the work that I'd already done in the past for people like themselves. And I made it very clear that I could produce exactly what was necessary to help grow their business. And that's ultimately what led to the hiring decision. That's ultimately what led to me collecting a check. And it still is true to this day. And when I hire people, I'm looking for the same thing. I have no interest in paying someone more just because they decided to shell out a mortgage. That wasn't my decision. I didn't tell them to go out and do that. I want to hire the person that can produce the best work and that has the best temperament to work with me and within the culture I'm building for Create Awesome Media. And that's what I want. I want someone who understands my brand. I want someone who is going to work hard. And the thing is, a piece of paper doesn't tell me that. A portfolio tells me that. What they're doing to market their own brand in social and digital tells me that. Their references, the people who've hired them in the past and what they have to say about them, those testimonials, those referrals, that matters. Who's in their ecosystem? Who introduced me to them? All of those things matter. And if you're saying, well, Roberto, that's fine if an entrepreneur is hiring me, that doesn't translate to corporate America. Well, I beg to differ. Networking matters in addition to your body of work. People who can vouch for you, you can bypass a formal interview through that and go straight to someone making a hiring decision. And we see that happen all the time in the corporate arena. And I would say, don't underestimate the value of these things. I know that it's popular to either be very pro-college or be very against. What I'm for is I'm for what works. And what works for the majority of people, if you're a creative person, may not work for you because you're creative. You're a misfit anyway. So I think just going with that traditional model sets a lot of people up to lose. I'm not saying college has no value. I'm making the point that for what the possible outcome is, it's dramatically overpriced. But I'll get into that kind of rant in a whole dedicated podcast to that. And I'm also interested in having some people interview that can give pros and cons. Because again, I could play devil's advocate. I went to college. I can go either way on this. I went to college. I paid cash. I didn't start life with student loans. So if that's something you're into, then I would say maybe you look at a way to do that. And if you feel like you can absorb the student loans, or hey, if you're getting a full ride, take the scholarship, go to college. If your parents can subsidize it, go to college. If, you know, you really feel like you want to have this massive amount of debt and you're convinced that it won't matter to you, fine, go to college. But make sure you're getting the most out of whatever you invest in. But more than anything, I just believe in skills. I believe in a body of work. I've seen that prove itself time and time again. No matter whether I was in corporate America helping influencing those hiring decisions, ultimately, aside from some people who romanticize degrees, body of work beats everything else. So that's just kind of where I'm going with that. But let's jump into the episode as a whole. And also, I want to acknowledge our awesome creator of the day. Our awesome creator of the day is David DeFranco, not to be confused with popular YouTuber Philip DeFranco. David give it to somebody who's been on YouTube, has over 100,000 subscribers. And the reason that I am acknowledging him as Awesome Creator of the Day is, one, we've been friends online for a very long time. And two, I love seeing what he's doing with his channel. Does a lot of stuff that is tech and vlogs, but he doesn't fit the traditional mold of a YouTuber, and yet he manages to make a complete living off of this without necessarily getting the views or the traditional YouTube model. And I think in an age where the adpocalypse, the YouTube boycott is a real thing, where shadow demonetization is something that people are more and more concerned about, whether that's true or false, I think that seeing YouTubers succeed in unconventional ways through their online entrepreneurship and doing other ventures outside of YouTube is something that we need to take a harder look at as online content creators. And I just love seeing what David is doing. I love seeing his journey, especially since he started with a background in web design and graphic design just like me. So David, if you're listening, big shout out to you, buddy. Love everything you're doing. Would love to hook up sometime. And also, I'm a patron of yours in Patreon, so I guess I'll catch you on your next patrons stream. So guys, check out David channel over at youtube.com/thecreativeone. Definitely a YouTube URL worthy of this podcast. And I will link to his channel in the show notes as well as his other social media. So David, love what you're doing. Keep creating awesome. So let's jump into today's episode, building a body of work. A lot of times I have creators, whether they're photographers, designers, marketers, writers, whoever, tell me that they can't get clients or they can't get a job or they can't get hired. And then I'm looking at their body of work. I see this from YouTubers too. I look at their body of work and it's usually thin. It's usually that they don't have enough of a body of work, or that they have a body of work, but it's not a lot. And all of it is really diverse. They have no concentration showing each of their skills. If they have a diversity of skills, or even if they have a singular skill, they have it, but then they don't have different applications of that. And let me get really practical and granular about this. So let's say that you were a graphic designer and you have 12 pieces in your portfolio because that's what your professor said to do, which I disagree with. And you have 4 pieces of typography, 4 pieces of digital artwork, and 4 examples of digital print production. So there's no depth for me. If I'm only hiring you for digital print production, you have 4 pieces. That's not enough. So I need you to have in your portfolio, I need 10 or a dozen pieces that show me that the work you're able to do is consistent and it's not a fluke. And I need to get a grasp of your style with regard to that. And then I need to see that if you're doing stuff with typography, I need to see 12 of those. If you're doing stuff with logos, I need to see 10 or 12 of these things. I need depth for each of the skills that you're professing to have, because you don't have enough of a body of work that represents that. And then let's say that all you were focused on was print, but then all of it is real estate, but you're pitching to me and I'm in the finance sector. I need to see representations of you doing work in the context of my industry. It's fine that you did real estate, but I need to see at least a few examples of you doing stuff that's finance, right? So let's say that you're doing stuff and it's all of these digital art pieces and it's all of these, you know, people that are in the music industry, for example, but you're pitching to me as a public speaker. I need to see something more, because maybe my imagination, maybe I'm a public speaker and my imagination isn't being, you know, triggered by this. Maybe I can't see the value, but if you had stuff where you had the same style of digital art, but you had faces that I know and that I recognize as a public speaker and not just musicians that I may have never heard of, well, then that means something to me and it's relevant. You need to create context in your body of work. So as a designer, you know, that's the thing I would say. As a photographer, if all you have is wedding photography, that doesn't convince me that you can necessarily do shots for me as a public speaker. Now, I'm speaking devil's advocate on that, because I can see composition and lighting and see that you could probably figure out how to make me look good on stage, but not everyone can do that. So if people aren't going to be a creative like you and they're not abstract and they can't fill in the blanks here, you need to make it painless. You need to make it very obvious to them that you can do exactly the type of work they need and that you can do exactly the type of work that they are asking and paying for. Because if you don't, there's no reason to hire you when there are other people who will put in front of them exactly the thing that they're looking for without them having to use their imagination or connect the dots. So building up a body of work that represents the work you want to be hired for is going to matter, and you need to keep doing that. and you need to keep expanding and growing on that range and looking at the market diversity, or if you're going extraordinarily narrow, then you're going to need a lot of depth there, especially if you're going narrow. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, that you're not in the top 10 or 20% of the market. Well, experience and volume and enough depth represents that you probably have an efficient process and that you're just really good at this, and that this is the thing that you focus on. And that could be an advantage over your competitors and contemporaries. So quantity does matter. I keep saying people need to balance quality and quantity, but I know artists love to romanticize this. And the thing is, what you think is quality, a client doesn't necessarily think is quality. The market doesn't think of is quality. And you can't control other people's perception of what quality is, no matter how good you think you are. But you know what you can control? You can control volume and output, aka quantity. So that is definitely a way to win. I mean, there is a value to, let's take a look at me. I'm one of the only people in YouTube that's not an entertainer, that is an educator, that can claim that they produced, shot, and edited 1,000 pieces of YouTube content by themselves. I'm one of the only YouTube experts, now a YouTube certified expert, that can say I optimized and marketed for the algorithm 1,000 pieces of individual content. See, that matters. Having audited dozens of channels and sampled data from dozens of channels to be able to put together my information, that makes me more qualified than just somebody who's only ever managed their own channel and lives in a bubble. So you can see that there are many examples here, whether it's data and analytics, whether it's photography, whether it's video, whether it's marketing and SEO, whether it's design, that volume and quantity in your body of work matters. Context matters for the person looking at it. And again, I'm not throwing quality under the bus. I'm just saying that, again, you don't know what quality is to somebody else. Sometimes the ability to prove speed of execution is quality for someone because they need it done. They don't need it done to perfection. They need it in their hands to present as a deliverable to be able to get the contract for money. And 5 or 10% better quality doesn't necessarily award them the contract. Showing up does. So you need to understand that from the buying perspective of someone in the business side. That's what I love about doing this podcast and my content, is what I need creatives, what I need you guys to understand in order to keep you from ever finding yourself in a position of struggling and being starving artists, is I need to bring real world business applications and business practicality to you, for you to understand that the way that we view things in our creative mind, in that landscape, in that perspective, is not something that business people usually relate to. And business people, most of them are not creatives. And the thing is, we have to go to them. They have the checks. We can't have the expectation that they're going to understand creativity and abstracts and understand aesthetic and understand gestalt and all the fluffy things that make us feel good. They're not going to get that. It's much easier for us to be able to understand the practicality and the reality of what they're doing from a business perspective, because guess what? One of the first things that you learn as a creative, if you do get a formal education, is that form follows function. This thing being aesthetically pleasing, if it does not facilitate the function that it was intended for, is irrelevant. That quote unquote good design, good aesthetic, good photo, good image is irrelevant if it can't sell things that make you and make the client money, because you need that. It's inevitable. It's something you can't get around. And again, you don't want to get around it. The idea is, if you're listening to this, you probably want to make a living at this, right? So I think it's just important to understand that. So having a body of work that represents you well, that shows the demand in the marketplace for the jobs and the clients and the things that you want to capture that are going to convert to money for you, revenue, the thing you need to live off of, that's important. And so I'm not saying don't do work that you love. I'm saying that not all of it probably needs to be in your portfolio, not the public facing portfolio that you use for the purposes of acquiring new business. Sometimes that's necessary, but sometimes what's necessary is to play to the market specifically. So for a lot of you creatives, let me put this in perspective. When you're going to job interviews, especially if you're 19, 20, 22, 25, you know what you probably don't put in your portfolio? You know what you probably kill? That piece of design artwork that's gaming or anime. If you're not pitching to a gaming company, or if you're not pitching to Funimation, or if you're not pitching to Crunchyroll, then you probably take that anime and gaming artwork out of your portfolio for this meeting. Just saying. Now, you can leave that up on your Behance, that can be up on your DeviantArt, that can be in your social media. That's fine. But in terms of presenting your body of work to clients, play to what the client's expectations are. Have work in your portfolio that is the kind of work they've already hired people to do and pay for. One of the things I tell a lot of creatives, whether you're a designer, whether you're a writer, whatever it is you're doing, is if you have one, first of all, if you haven't done this already, make a list of 20 companies that if the, you know, you were going to be granted a wish, if you could work for any 20 companies, they hire you tomorrow, what 20 companies would you want to work for, right? So make that list and the sky's the limit. It could be Nickelodeon, it could be MTV, it could be Adobe, it could be Viacom, it could be whoever you want, right? Make that list, then go look at the work that they've hired for in your skill set, in your industry, look at that work, and then look at your portfolio. You should have 10 to 20 good pieces of work that is on par with that. And if you don't know how to, if you haven't made that work yet, here's what you need to do. Here's real practicality. This won't be going in your portfolio, but what you do is you look at 20 pieces. Like, go and pull out, for example, if you want to do magazine covers, go pull out GQ, go pull out Vanity Fair, go pull out, visual effects, go pull out the 20, just whatever. Go pull out the 20 magazines that you think are amazing off of the magazine rack and copy those. Design those, use placeholder images, but make a perfect matching layout to the cover of those magazines. Then go inside and pull a bunch of internal layouts from those magazines and copy them to the T. You have to get them spot on. I want to see them to be a 90% duplication. None of this is going in your portfolio for clients. Here's the point. You need to do that, and you need to be able to duplicate award-winning work, work that people have paid tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars for. You need to be able to produce the type of work that's already on the bookshelf, that's already on the billboard, that's already on television. You need to figure out that 100 times. You need to copy that 100 times. And do you know why? Because then you will understand the process for developing award-winning work. You will understand the process for doing a professional magazine cover. You will understand the process for doing a industry-level internal layout. You will figure that out. You will be able to do a billboard worth paying for. And then when it's time to take your own work, your own typography, your own color schemes, and so on and so forth, and then make something, you'll have a process for understanding what the industry standards are, what the highest performing things in the industry are, and you'll be working with that standard in mind. It's just like any artist or illustrator that started as a kid tracing or drawing the Tasmanian Devil and Bugs Bunny until they could figure out a process for drawing lines really good, really fast, and then whatever's in their head, they were able to draw it. So I think that the problem is that we have a narrative where everyone thinks they have to do nothing but 100% original work, or they're a fake or the phony, because now artists are judged by what people say in social media and what people say online instead of them judging the quality of their work when they stand it up next to what's the best in the world. They're listening to the peanut gallery, and that didn't used to be the case. And I say that as an artist who grew up in a world before the internet and before social media. And the way that we behave today versus the way we would have behaved if we ignored what people say online is completely different. I try to isolate myself from the comment section. I participate in the comment section in my YouTube channel. I engage with all of you in social media. You know that. But in terms of taking it to heart, in terms of how I create with regard to my process, I keep my process as pure as possible. I keep you guys out of my head when it comes to how I work on things. So I would just say that that's probably one of the most practical lessons I could give you in terms of how you go from good to great, is that you study the best, you duplicate the process of the best, and then you tweak that process to play to your strengths and your skills and what resources you have available. And then you start interjecting your own creativity and ideas into that. Every single one of us knows that the best version of a song is the remix. Every single one of us knows that. So I want you guys to get past the vanity and the hubris and the arrogance of pure 110% originality if you're just getting started. And if you haven't made a name for yourself yet, if you haven't defined a style yet, if you haven't built a community yet, if you don't have clients yet, than you need to walk backwards from people who are already winning the game. And that's just the truth. It's why we all learn in athletics. We learn from success and we learn from people who are already at the level of fitness that we want. We learn from people who are already winning the gold medals. We don't just make up a workout routine from scratch. That doesn't usually serve us, right? So why are we applying that same thing to our creativity and to artistry? That no one else used to do that back in the day before the internet. People used to use an established standard. That's why they went to places like the Bauhaus. That's why we had artisans guilds. That's why there were master and apprentice relationships. You learned from your master and later you incorporated your style, but you learned your discipline from their techniques and their approach and their regimen. You didn't just make up your own way of doing things and your own process. And I think the problem is that everyone's trying to make up a process instead of using a successful foundation that's been proven to work and then adapting off of that and making something their own and grafting that to what works for them from a place of self-awareness and trial and error. I don't think people are putting in their 1,000 versions of copying the best. I don't think people are putting in their 10,000 hours of work to build something. And I don't think that people really are producing their 1,000 pieces of a body of work and culling that down to the top 10%. To have 100 pieces of something awesome, something amazing, to represent them in the marketplace. Ultimately, I think that all of my videos on YouTube, the 1,000+ videos, provide value. I think that they provide value for like at least thousands of people, and that's what I want, and that's fine, even if it's very niche sometimes. The diversity, yeah, sure, I take a little hit in the algorithm, but long term, I win on brand, and that's what matters. And so what I look at, though, is the fact that I know for a fact my top 100, my top 10% of my executions have the numbers, have the engagement, have the revenue behind them. And again, doing whatever it takes so that you have a high standard of your top 10%. I think that people are so scared and they're judging themselves and being judged on every single execution that they're not looking at it as a process to getting to their top 10%. That it's not about like every single thing has to knock it out of the park. It's that that's a process to discovering something that helps improve your top 10% or could potentially be in your top 10%. Remember, my greatest performing video as of the making of this audio is 900,000 views. It's a video I did a year ago, May 2016. The first 24 hours, everyone wanted to give me crap about it getting 3,000 views, right? And today it has almost 1 million views. You don't know what's going to happen with something you make. One piece of content could change your career, could change your life, whether it's one piece of Photoshop artwork that you do, one YouTube video that you do, one track or beat that you lay down, one article or story that you write. You just don't know what's going to do it. So doing as much of it as possible, aka create something awesome today, every day, every single day, sometimes multiple times a day, getting through your 1,000 executions really matters. It really matters, guys. I kid you not. And I'm living proof, and so many other people are. Every athlete in the world that's successful is living proof of 1,000 executions, of 10,000 hours. It makes a difference, guys. So again, don't obsess over quality. Understand that quantity is part of the equation too, and that quantity is the process of the work, and that quantity and volume of executions does matter in terms of how much work you have to represent depth, in terms of how much work you have to represent a specific skill set, a specific market that you want to play to. Guys, it matters and it's important. It's why I'm going to be doubling down on this podcast. It's why I have my other show over in Anchor FM. It's why I'm in Instagram. It's why I'm still writing articles. It's why I produce such a volume of content. It's because I need to take every shot in the world that there is at creating something awesome and believing that it's going to pay off in the long run instead of worrying about what happens up front or who's talking about it or who's watching or who's listening right this second. It matters in the long game. It matters in the lifetime value, and it matters as part of your process of work. So just build that body of work, guys. Invest in it. It is so important. I cannot stress that enough. Well, that's it for today's show. Question of the day. How many executions have you done right now for the year? Right now, this is August 2017. Tell me something. For the year of 2017, how many pieces in your body of work and whatever you're executing on right now, what have you done? And are you going to go out there and create something awesome today, every day? Are you going to ramp that number up? There's still plenty of time this year for you to get 100 new pieces of work under your belt, and it does matter. So are you going to do it? So that's the question of the day. Hit me up in Twitter at Roberto Blake, or check me out over at Roberto Blake in Instagram as well, and let me know what you're going to do about your next 100 pieces of work. And if you're doing stuff in Instagram, tag me, show me your work. I want to see it. Guys, thank you so much for tuning into the show. Remember, just go out there and create something awesome today. Take care.